Ah, football. The Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots will play in this year's Super Bowl. And for the 15th year in a row, it won't be the Green Bay Packers. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on WPR News. My guest for the next half hour will be looking at the 2025 Packers season and looking ahead to 2026. Pete Doherty back with us. Pete's a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and the USA Today Network of Wisconsin. He's covered the Packers since 1993. And of course, as we talk, I hope you'll join in, want to hear from you. What were some of your favorite and least favorite moments from this season? What moments made you scream in frustration, perhaps? What do you think the Packers should do in this offseason? Give a call, the number 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Pete Doherty, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think we got to start with probably the biggest news of the weekend. Packers have hired former Arizona Cardinals head coach and former Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. What do you think?
You know, going into this, you know, some years there's not a lot of what you would consider great candidates or at least high profile, you know, guys available. And this go around with all the coaching firings, all those staffs getting fired, that meant all those coordinators were available. A couple of the head coaches who got fired were former defensive coordinators, so now they're available for being hired for as coordinator. So I thought the pool was better than a lot of years. And I thought Gannon and Jim Leonard were probably the two most intriguing candidates for the Packers. There were some other guys too, but those are the two that jumped out most, you know, when they first started their search.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were kind of hoping Jim Leonard would be picked, but Gannon had, in some way, I mean, he was a head coach.
Yeah, and I think that had to have weighed heavily for LaFleur. I think he liked that about Jeff Hafley. Hafley wasn't an NFL head coach until last week, but he was a college coach at Boston College. And I think LaFleur found that really attractive. You know, he hasn't talked, so I'm kind of speculating on the reasons why. But, a guy who has sat in that chair and knows what it's like to make the decisions is a guy he could lean on. He could maybe help him with advice for game management. He can bring perspective on how the Eagles did things. So, I think there was a lot to like about the head coaching part that besides Gannon brought experience already in the league as a coordinator, I think that head coaching stuff was a big deal for LaFleur.
Yeah, I know I agree with you on that. Well, you know, let's look back. What were your expectations coming into this past season? And would you say the Packers met or failed to meet those expectations?
They were pretty high, and they failed to meet them. You know, they were going to be reasonably high anyway, because they had a fair amount of returning talent, and they had Love going into his third year, you know, guy ascending quarterback. And then when they traded for Micah Parsons, that really sent the expectations soaring. And then the way they played those first two games, you know, it just jumped out what an impact player this guy was and how much better, because they not only is he, you know, a star player is going to help you no matter what position, but they needed a pass rusher so badly. So it was a star player at a huge need. And the way they played those first two games and they won convincingly, I thought, man, they're going places this year. And then they never quite played up to that afterwards. You know, they got hit by injuries, but a lot of teams do. The offense bogged down at times. I think the expectations, I don't know that the team was mature enough to handle them real well. That might have been part of it.
Yeah. Were you surprised, or how surprised were you that the Packers stuck with head coach Matt LaFleur?
Just very mildly surprised. You know, going into that playoff game, I thought he was safe. And, you know, I believe the reports that said that he wasn't coaching for his job. I thought that's, you know, that's true. That, you know, the Packers, they're not going to, that they're probably not going to fire a guy who's won all the games he has and he's making the playoffs, you know, the first 3 years after, you know, they made that huge transition from losing a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I thought he was in pretty good shape. And then with the way they lost that game and having lost basically the same way to Chicago twice in, what was it, like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, I just thought, man, that I wonder if Ed Policy, that's just going to be, you know, a little more than he could stomach. But it turned out he wasn't going to make the decision after after one game. So, you know, I thought, you know, I was wishy-washy on it myself, and I thought, you know, I could see them firing him. I, you know, if it were me, I'd probably lean that way, but I can't say I had a strong conviction about it because, man, you go, so you start changing these coaches, and you could be swapping out a coach every 3 years, too, so you better be sure what you're doing. And so I was only a little surprised that that they kept him, just a little.
I was thinking the injuries, Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft, for example, probably played a little bit in Policy's mind as well. The fact that, you know, we lost Tucker Kraft. I mean, he was our offense in a way for quite a while.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I'm sure that weighed very heavily. You know, Kraft was basically their best player on offense. You know, I mean, they're most important other than the quarterback, and Parsons was by far their, you know, most important guy on defense. That loss especially had to weigh into it because, you know, there are difference makers and then there are difference makers. And this guy's that latter category. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer unless, you know, he can't come back from injuries, but he was such a, losing him was so impactful. And I know like a lot of people pointed rightly to how well the 49ers did, even though they got killed by injuries too. But as we saw when Seattle blew them off the field in the playoffs, you know, that eventually caught up with them too. So even if, you know, even if the Packers had beaten Chicago, which they should have, they weren't going any further. Odds were really strong. They were going no further than that. So, I think you're right on the money. I'm sure, especially the Parsons injury had to weigh really heavily into Policy's decision to keep LaFleur.
Yeah, and then Zach Tom, that was a loss. And even Christian Watson, that was late, but I think the Denver game maybe. But Zach Tom, a very good offensive lineman. Oh, that's for sure. Well, were there some breakout players this season who impressed you?
You know, I don't know if Watson would fit that category, but yeah, kind of. I mean, he was coming back from an ACL. He had been an important player when he played because he brought such a dynamic big play element to their offense. But even though he missed, you know, all off season and all the training camp in the first, what was it, six games or whatever it was, while he's recovering from the ACL, he came back. He was a better receiver. He made a huge impact when he came back, and he helped mitigate the loss of Kraft quite a bit. So, like, he's a potential star in the making. And the other one who jumps out is Evan Williams. I think he could easily be a future All-Pro. He's their second-year safety. He was just a really, really good football player this year. I wouldn't be surprised if next year if he's an All-Pro player.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, and, you know, somebody else who was great, I thought, was Malik Willis, our backup quarterback. I mean, is he going to return? It would be sure nice if he would.
Where would they have been without him the last 2 years, right? Oh. I mean, there's only a couple teams in the league who have a backup quarterback who gives them a real chance to win. I mean, even look at the Patriots yesterday. They thought that guy had a chance to, or not the Broncos, they thought he had a chance to give him a chance to win. And, you know, that I know I realized the weather was a huge, huge factor in that. But even when the weather was good, they were having trouble functioning. So Willis was fantastic. No, I would think there's pretty much zero chance he's back. Somebody's going to sign him. to at least give him a chance to compete for the starting job. You know, I don't know anybody's just going to hand it to him. But, you know, he's showing enough where he would warrant that kind of look and get a contract where, you know, maybe similar to what the guy in Minnesota, Daniel Jones, signed last year, you know, $15 million. And then a lot of incentives where if he's the starter and if they win games, then he can make millions in incentives too. So I would think the chances of Willis coming back are pretty much as close to zero as you can get.
Yeah, I feel bad about that, for sure. Well, how would you rate Jordan Love's performance this season?
Pretty good, better than last year. So I think he's still improving. His stats were fantastic. Like, if you look at him statistically, he's ranking up there in the top, I don't know, six or so, you know, passer rating and all those things. I still don't think it's quite showing up as consistent performance. He's shown he can be a winning quarterback in the league, which is a big step, and that's hard. You know, there's not that many winning quarterbacks, but they do need him to take another step. And he's got, you know, he's got three seasons in now. The stamps are accruing. As long as the arrow's still pointing up, they're in really good shape. So, you know, if I'm the Packers, I'm feeling pretty good that he's, you know, if I'm sitting in that office over there, I'm thinking he's pretty, you know, I feel good that he's the quarterback of this team if I were them.
Yeah. And the overall offense, how would you rate the overall offense this season?
Pretty decent, nothing better than that. They have their moments, and they were explosive, and they can move the ball in the air. Their run game really went down the tubes for most of the season. Their offensive line played really poorly. I think all the miles Josh Jacobs has on him, plus that knee injury, are starting to show up. So they, you know, between those two factors, their run game I wouldn't say a liability, but certainly was not, as helpful as it was in 2024 when Jacobs had a really nice season.
Yeah. And then we have Brandon McManus. He missed, three kicks in the playoff loss. How likely are the Packers to have a new kicker?
I think, you know, I don't know this. There's, you know, they don't leak stuff like this. I would think there's a really good chance they'll move on. I mean, just think about it. You know, if he'd made those three kicks, they win that game easily. If he'd made two of them, they probably win. And if he just made even the extra point, they're kicking a game tying field goal instead of having to score a touchdown in the final seconds of that game. So, I think that's probably just more than the GM and coach are going to be able to take. You know, he was such a dependable guy for a year and a half, although he had the injury early in the year where he missed a couple kicks, but he was healthy at the end of the year. So if I had to bet, I would bet that they'll move on from him. I don't know that as a fact, though, so we'll see.
Yeah. Well, now the Packers released Trayvon Diggs, cornerback, and they have 9 unrestricted free agents, if I'm not mistaken. What players do you need to expect to see back at Lambeau next season?
I guess the guy, I'm going to forget somebody here. I know the guy who jumps out as most likely to me is Sean Ryan. He played pretty well when they moved him to center after Elton Jenkins got hurt. He played better than Jenkins had been playing, and they've got such huge needs at defensive line and cornerback for multiple players that, you know, I don't think they can go into the off season needing a starting center too, besides all their other positions. So I'm thinking that he'd be their highest priority to re-sign. Just about everybody else I would think would be expendable. I think I'm forgetting someone else who might be at least a possibility, but like Quay Walker is one of their, you know, most high profile guys. I think he's a luxury they can't afford. They got other guys who can play linebacker, and they're going to need the cap room that they have to do some things at defensive tackle and corner. So, and Rasheed Walker, left tackle, I'm assuming he's gone. He was going to be gone anyway. Just, you know, they've got Jordan Morgan who could play over there. Belton, if they need to, you know, if Morgan doesn't work out, they could even move Zach Tom over there if need be. But, man, Rasheed Walker, he tanked at the end of the year, too. He just had an awful day against the Bears. So I would say there's pretty much zero chance that he's back, too. So those are the two highest profile guys who I think won't be back.
Yeah. Jay in Washburn has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I know your guest said that he thinks Malik Willis is going to be gone, but what are the chances that Packers would ever consider a two-quarterback offense and keep him as more than just a backup and use him every now and then?
You know, like a true two-quarterback offense, I just, you know, if that's what you mean, I think that's highly unlikely. I don't think anybody has really done that since going back to, I remember Denver in the 70s had Craig Morton, and I can't remember who the other one was, and they alternated. It was either plays or series. And I think that's the last time I remember anybody doing something like that. I still think the Packers could have, I would criticize LaFleur for not making use of Willis, short yardage, goal line, every once in a while, change of pace for a series. I realize he likes Love at quarterback, and you don't want to mess with that guy's confidence. And so, you know, taking him out, there's some risks there. But man, Willis showed that he could be trusted and would be something else defenses have to prepare for. So I would fault LaFleur for not at least having a package of plays for Willis every game. But for more of a true two quarterback system, that would be tough to do because the practice snaps and all that. You're watering down both guys instead of, you want your starter needs all that work. So I would think that's unlikely. But like I said, I mean, your point, if your point was that they should have gotten Willis out there at least some, I have to agree with you there.
Yeah, that's good points, Jay. I agree. I like the idea of some set plays or series where he could be dropped in once in a while. That would have been great. Well, he's probably going to be playing for somebody else. You know, in the playoffs, and I'm not a single name is coming to mind, but I've so often heard the name of former Packers playing for these playoff teams that it was kind of, I think, why isn't he still with us?
You know, that's funny because actually, you know, if you look at all the rosters, like if you were in Minnesota, you'd be saying the same thing, you know, with Sam Darnold out in the quarterback for Seattle.
Yeah.
These players move around so much. If the Packers were in the Super Bowl, there'd be teams lamenting, you know, fans lamenting that their team let a guy get away. What really jumps out to me, though, is the head personnel guy for each team, the GM for Seattle is John Schneider, and the vice president of personnel for the Patriots is Elliot Wolf. They're both former Packers scouts. They're both Wisconsin guys. And in fact, they both graduated from high schools in Green Bay. So that's going to be a big story up here in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, man, will it ever. What do you think about Ed Policy? Now he's the president, CEO. How did he do? It's his first season. How did he do in his rookie season?
You know, he stayed out of the limelight. Murphy would talk more publicly than Ed Policy has. He had his first big decision here, and he kept the coach and extended the general manager, Brian Gutekunst's contract, too. It's way too early to pass judgment on the decision. I know, you know, there was a segment of fans who are really upset about it, that they kept LaFleur. But I thought there were reasons to – there were good reasons, very justifiable reasons to go either way on that one. So we'll just have to wait and see. I wonder, you know, his dad was the president of the 49ers and worked for Eddie DeBartolo all those years when they were winning all those Super Bowls with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and Steve Young. And they were pretty ruthless about firing people out there. George Seifert won a Super Bowl the next year. They went to the divisional round of the playoffs and lost, and he got fired. So they had a real ruthless streak there, and I wondered if Ed Policy would bring that with him, having observed and I'm sure talked with his father how the 49ers operated. But he stayed more to the Packers' DNA of, which is more the Pittsburgh, Baltimore model, where your identity is you're a rock solid organization. You don't make knee-jerk kind of decisions. You weather some tough storms because you think you'll get a payback later. So this move has him staying in that vein, and we'll just have to see how things go over the next few years. But his first decision stuck true to how the organization generally is operated, going back to Bob Harlan.
Yeah. How aggressive do you think they're going to be in the free agent market?
I think they'll be relatively aggressive. They've got some cap room, and they can create some more. Now they'll have to mortgage some contracts to do it, but they can do it. They can't go hog wild. I don't think they have the money, the cap room, and the desire to, you know, do what they did in Aaron Rodgers' last couple of years, where you're mortgaging every contract. But I don't see how they don't sign a couple players. They so desperately need help at corner and defensive tackle. I think they've got to either sign, you know, two pretty good players, you know, fairly expensive players, or multiple players at each of those positions who are a little cheaper, who would, and it would be more like a draft pick where you hope you hit on, if you sign four guys, you hope you hit on two of them. So I suspect they're going to be reasonably active. That would be my bet. And that's, you know, it's not that far away. It's in early mid-March is when free agency starts. And so all that stuff will be heating up pretty soon. There's a Super Bowl, and then the combine, the scouting combine's like a week and a half, 2 weeks later. So,
and I'm wondering, who do you think they'll be targeting in the draft? It sounds like you've just told me what you think, maybe.
Yeah, that's what you would think. Now, they don't have a first-round pick, so they're not picking until the second round. But, you know, you could lose a lot of money betting on what position the Green Bay Packers are going to draft at, because I've been sure several times over the last 10 years, well, they've got to take a guy at this position in the first two or three rounds. They just have to, and they don't do it. And last year, I did not think they'd take a receiver. They had, you know, they still had the same needs at defensive line and corner, and they took a receiver, and then they took another one in the third round where it was even less of a need because they'd taken one in the first. So it also would depend on what they do in free agency too. If they sign a couple guys they really like at those positions, they might feel less pressure to sign or to draft a corner or defensive tackle in the second round and, you know, go with the best player available, you know, route, which is kind of the way they prefer to go. That is the way they prefer to go.
And Pete, finally, who's going to win the Super Bowl, the Patriots or the Seahawks?
Oh man, the Seahawks look pretty tough. That they can really move the ball. That quarterback is playing lights out. That receiver, Smith and Jigba, is a stud. I don't know. They don't have superstars on defense, but they have a lot of really good players. And that head coach is a defensive guy and seems to be really good at what he does. So I'm leaning toward, if I had to put a bet, I'd probably bet on them. I think it's a 5 or 6 point spread.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I had to guess, I'd go Seahawks. I just think this is, they're just rolling right now. They played well all year and they're hot right now.
Yeah. Pete, man, this was a quick half hour. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I learned a lot, and I think our listeners did as well, and I hope we can do this again down the road. Thank you, Pete.
Oh, I always really enjoy it, Larry. I hope you call again soon.
Pete Doherty, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press-Gazette and the USA Today Network of Wisconsin. Man, he does a good job. Well, we're going to stay with the Packers a bit, in a way, anyway. Coming up next, we're going to talk about how the city is using Lambeau Field when the Packers aren't playing there. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.